Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three. The topic that has been viral today that has dominated, this is almost like a single dipper day here. So it's stolen valor, the question of Tim Walz. He's currently the governor of Minnesota. He was a congressman before that. He's now the vice presidential candidate for the Democrat Party. And the question is, out of all the things we could look at, we chose one topic today. Me as a veteran myself, I take issue with the mischaracterization by himself of his own service. Well, on the phone right now is somebody who I have a thread of a connection with. Paul Crespo and I both serve in connection with an organization called STARS, which basically is a group of senior retired military who care about the culture of the military and wokeness in the military. Paul Crespo himself is a former Marine, a Marine officer. He was an artilleryman. He was also Anglico. And if you've been around long enough, you know that's the guys who called in the naval guns. He's also served as an intelligence officer with the Defense Intelligence Agency, degrees from Georgetown, University of London, Cambridge. He's been around politics and commentary and even radio for a while. He's on the phone right now. Paul Crespo, how you doing?
Hey, Phil. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for making some time today.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Listen, you wrote a piece that I read, and it fit perfectly within today's show content. You called him a coward with a bogus military record, Tim Walz. Give us your thoughts.
Well, I mean, you know, like most people, I didn't know much about him when he first popped on the scene. I really didn't think she would pick him because it was stupid to pick him in terms of politics. So, you know, picking another left-wing radical like herself probably didn't help her, you know, expand her base. But as soon as I started looking into him, I realized we had another John Kerry on our hands. You know, they were hyping him up right away as a veteran and, you know, someone who served for years in the military and et cetera, et cetera. And it turns out that, you know, maybe not so much, that he, you know, lied about his record. He cut out early to avoid serving with his unit in Iraq, and then lied about why he did it or how he did it, et cetera. He also recently, you know, we saw a clip recently where he said that he carried a weapon of war in war. Well, you know, that's fine, except he never went to war. I mean, in combat. So, you know, he has a tendency to embellish his record and play up his record unfairly and unjustifiably. So, you know, everyone's got their experience. Some go to combat, some don't. Some serve in combat units, some don't. Somebody serves in the National Guard, some serve on active duty. But don't lie about your record and don't make it appear to be more than it is.
No, I completely agree. Let me ask you this. I mean, you've been around politics for a bit. You mentioned John Kerry. I talked a little bit earlier in my show here today about the Swift boating, and I even played the original ad, the soundtrack from the original ad that the Swift Boats for Veterans for Truth ran against Kerry that actually dropped him in the polls. Do you see this? Yeah. Is this gonna be a Swift Boat moment, or is it going to be a fleeting moment in the early stages of his campaign?
Well, you know, it's hard to say. It's hard to say. He's not the presidential candidate. He's the vice presidential candidate. And, you know, some of the stuff that Kerry did might be seen as worse because he also became an activist, anti-war activist, and threw his medals over the fence at the Capitol and, you know, disparaged the fellow soldiers and accused them of crimes. So I think what he did was on a level that's worse than Walz. But I still think that this deserves to be more than just a fleeting moment. I mean, this represents his character, this represents, you know, the kind of man that he is. And if they're going to play up his military record, then we need to continue to emphasize that it's not what it seems and that he's sort of dishonorable in the way that he behaved, especially at the end of his career. You know, pulling out just months before you're supposed to deploy with your unit. And there's debate, you know, whether he knew officially or didn't know officially. The bottom line is that almost everyone in the unit and around it understood that they were on the list to be deployed overseas to Iraq. And, you know, he knew that was coming. And he even mentioned it in a campaign statement when he was running for office that he was going to stay in the race despite his unit potentially going to Iraq. And then he put in his paperwork kind of fast and furious and then, you know, quietly, as one man said, slithered away and let his unit go to Iraq without him. So, you know, that's and he was at the time a master sergeant slash command sergeant major or command sergeant. And that was only because he had started to take the courses and the schoolwork to become that rank. And he didn't fill it and didn't fulfill it, didn't complete it. So very quickly after they found out that he hadn't really, you know, performed his duties requiring that were required to achieve that rank, they demoted him and lowered him back down to a master sergeant.
So let me ask you this.
So he also claims that he retired as a command sergeant, and he didn't.
Yeah, exactly. Let me ask you this. You and I have both had deployment time. I noticed in your resume that you were in one of the Marine Expeditionary Units in the Pacific aboard an amphibious assault ship. So you probably had time where you went out on cruises and you were gone for long months, and I guarantee you that you saw some people within the ranks who would look for a reason to not have to report in, at least for a while, or delay their arrival at ship duty and try to avoid the time away from home if possible. How'd you feel about those folks when it happened?
Well, obviously, you know, when you're doing your duty and you're putting it all out there and you're ready to you know, sacrifice and give your life if necessary, and somebody else finds a sleazy way to get away from doing that, it's very upsetting and angering. So anyone who does that leaves a bad taste in everyone's mouth. And I think a lot of the people that have commented on him negatively were fellow senior staff NCOs who also knew him well and said that at the time they thought it was kind of, disgusting, and that he would leave his unit because he was a senior staff NCO. So he was responsible for the enlisted people in that battalion, and he chose to sort of leave them hanging and going on without him, right at the last moment. And remember, he was in the Guard for 24 years, but he never, ever went overseas to a combat deployment. We were in the middle of Afghanistan and Iraq. I was volunteering for ways to go to combat when I was in and wasn't in the right region or the right place at the right time. This guy, you know, finally had the chance to go, and he decides not to because his political career is more important.
And I watched an interview with the guy who wound up taking his place, the first sergeant, Barons, I believe his name is, who wound up being promoted into the empty spot that he had left behind. And they went down range, and apparently they lost several men. And you have to look at it and go, not only were these people he served with, but they were people who did not come home. It seemed like he did a disservice to those he served with by not only not being with them when the time came, but also by embellishing his record to make it look as if the things that he had done were just – basically, he's insulting everybody by doing that, in my opinion.
Well, he just hit the nail on the head. It's two-sided. A, he didn't go, you know, when he was called upon to finally go into a potential combat zone. He chose not to go and found a sleazy way to get out of it because he didn't even show up to sign his retirement papers. You know, I think they noted that it said not available for signature, so they just kind of pro forma signed it off for him. But he kind of slithered away and didn't go. And then he goes off and starts saying how he's out of, you know, carried a weapon in war and how he's this retired at this rank and served honorably. And it's like, you know, you can serve honorably and then leave dishonorably. And that's what I like to point out. I go, whether he did his job, you know, at minimum required for those years that he was in, God bless him, you know, I'll give him credit for that. But then he kind of screwed it all up at the end when he, you know, left dishonorably and then kind of embellished, you know, the entire back story for why he left that and also what he did when he was in.
Well, let me ask you this before we finish our time together. So what's next? How do we keep this story front and center? What's the means by which this is not allowed to just fade away? How does the conservative side of politics, the pundits, otherwise, keep this thing in the right spot?
Well, every time someone tries to defend it, you've got to rebut it, and they will try to rebut. And one thing they just did now, the campaign I just saw changed the bio slightly to say that he reached the rank, you know, instead of retired as the rank. So they're still playing, they're still fiddling it with it. It's like, you know what? He retired as a master sergeant. Just say that. Even now, after they fiddle with the bio, it's still not 100% accurate. So if they the more they keep doing this, the more it gives us an opportunity to say, you guys still don't get it right. Even when you try and fix it, you're still being deceptive. Stop doing that. And then the more you get into it, the more they defend themselves, the more you have to continue to push it. But I would definitely push it. I also wrote a piece just recently about his connections to China, connections to China. And when you add the fact that he spent, you know, years going back and forth to China, working with a company that did business with the Chinese government, sending people over and funded by the Chinese government. And he lived and worked there. He's always been praising the Chinese, and he's always defended the Chinese and says we shouldn't be adversaries. You know, you start wondering, you know, who is this guy?
Yeah.
And if Trump was, you know, went to Russia, lived there for a year and went back and forth, you know, 30 times and was receiving funds from the Russian government, you know, what would he be? I mean, he didn't do any of that, and he was already called a Russian asset. So what is Waltz if he's not a Chinese asset?
He's
so
Manchurian candidate.
No, actually somebody, you know, defending him said, oh, he's not a Manchurian candidate. And I was going to write something saying, no, yes, he is.
Yeah.
Or definitely potentially could be, because I can't trust someone who has spent that much time, you know, sleeping with the enemy, so to speak.
Not only that, so, I don't know if you heard this, but the weirdest thing I heard was he got married on, was it June the 4th? Because that was the Tiananmen Square anniversary. That way he could always remember his anniversary, which I thought was the weird. And then he had his honeymoon in China. What, like, that's just bizarre.
The honeymoon I knew, I would have to double check the date, because he was in Tiananmen around the time of the repression and the massacre. But then just within a year later, when everyone was condemning it and realizing what a horrible, you know, scene that was and how, you know, awful it was, he goes back to China and decides that it's time to start, you know, going on a honeymoon in China, and then, you know, soon thereafter starting a business. So, you know, if I was somewhere and they had a massacre where they killed potentially thousands of people who were simply, you know, asking for democracy, I wouldn't go back to that place. And not only did he go back, but he went back, he got his honeymoon there, and his wife and he started a business that spent the next 10 years practically going back and forth to China, being funded in part by the Chinese government. So I think, you know, you got two things. One is his stolen valor, and the other one is that he's a bit of a China stooge. So, you know, both of those things together make him a very dangerous potential VP.
Totally agree. Paul Crespo, got to leave it there, man. Thanks for making time for us today. Really hope to connect with you in the future,
it.
And thanks for what you do and Simplify.
Anytime. Simplify, brother.
All right, we're taking a break right now. That's good stuff. And we will take some text messages, get caught up on that, and see where you guys are at, because, listen, this is y'all's show, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.